Hey everyone, welcome to episode 33 of Student Radio Stories. This episode includes an interview with Matt Madron. Matt is a newsreader on Free Radio in the mornings and was previously on the Student Radio Association Committee as the Midlands Regional Officer. Matt also has his own podcast called Got the Boot. Let's get into the interview and hear more from Matt about his radio journey. So I'm here with Matt Madron. So Matt, what is your current job in the radio industry?
Well, okay, thanks for having me on. So my current job, I am one of the newsreaders at Free Radio in the West Midlands. So we're split into four sections and I read for Coventry and Warwickshire and Herefordshire and Worcestershire in the mornings. So, but yeah, it's really rewarding, really good fun. As I say, do it at breakfast, so I have the 5 o'clock start every day, which is a bit tricky at times, but yeah, really, really good fun.
What do you enjoy about being a newsreader?
Just informing people of what's going on. I think it's a position of such power, I suppose, when there are so many things going on in the world at the moment, and usually anyway, outside of a global pandemic. I'm the sort of person in that area who is telling you what's going on. I suppose it's the same for other newsreaders as well, that they're like the first port of call if you want to hear news, especially on the hour in commercial radio. Of course, if you're on the TV or elsewhere, you might be hearing it from reporters who are out and about. But if you're listening to Free Radio, the place you're going to hear the news or hear what's going on the hour is from me. And that's quite a big responsibility.
So what previous experience have you had of working in the radio industry?
So I actually started off freelancing in both radio and TV. So radio-wise, I was freelancing at Pulse One in Bradford and also Peak FM in Chesterfield. At the same time, I was working at BBC East Midlands Today as a broadcast assistant. So I did the auto cue and I did floor managing on that programme. And then I also did floor managing on Sunday Politics East Midlands as well. So it was my first year out of uni was a real mix of TV and radio. I don't know many people I know that have done that, but it was good fun. It kept me in the loop on both sides of the media industry, which I think is really important these days. So I did that for about a year, and then I moved over to BBC Radio Nottingham for 10 months, and I started off as their reporter for their Sunday Faith show. So I literally went around the whole of Nottinghamshire. I went to mosques, I went to Buddhist temples, I went to churches, I went all around the county to places of worship and created packages and pieces that would go on the Sunday morning show, which was really interesting and really different and such a unique role, I suppose, and something that I never thought I'd be doing when I came out of university, but it was really good and really good experience for me to go out and get interviews and put packages together. And at the same time, me over the weekend, I would be doing weekend news reading. So my actual first shift pattern at Radio Nottingham was Wednesday to Sunday. So I would do reporting on the Wednesday for the Faith show. Then Thursday and Friday, I would put together the stories that would go on the weekend news. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'd come in and read them. So that was pretty much it for about 4 months or so, I think it was. And then after that, I just did a bit of everything, did reporting, did a bit of news reading. I produced the Drive Time show a few times. I produced the Sunday Faith show a couple of times as well. I just went out and about. So it was a really good experience for, I think that was about 10 months. And yeah, then made the move over to Birmingham and over to Free.
How did you get into your work at Free Radio?
You'd have to ask Vicky Brakewell that question, the legend of Midlands Radio that she is. She was the editor of Free Radio at the time, and there was a job advert, and I just thought, might as well go for it, because you might not know, with the BBC, they have certain contracts. They have fixed-term contracts, they have permanent contracts or freelancers. I was on a fixed-term contract because a colleague of others at the BBC was doing a placement in Hull, I think it was, so I was basically covering her. It was initially for 6 months, then it got extended up to 10, but I knew the contract was running out, so I knew I had to look at other options, and the opportunity at Free came up, and I'll never forget my interview where I had Vicky Brakewell and Louise Easton grilling me about my past, present and future, which was a real good test, hearing from so many, two of the most experienced journalists in the area, wanting to find out more about me and how I could contribute to the team. And I must have done an all right job because I got invited in for a trial shift a couple of weeks later. That went all right. And then I got my role after that. So I initially did Drive. So that was the role at the time. And I started doing that in March 2017. So that's pretty much how I got there. And as I say, still there to this day. What is it? Nearly 3.5 years. So I must be doing something right.
So I understand you have your own podcast called Got the Boot. Explain what your podcast discusses and how it came about.
Well, Got the Boot is an idea from my love of football. I'm a massive football fan, a massive Liverpool fan. So you can imagine I'm very happy at the moment with the great season that we've had and finally won a Premier League title. But ever since I was a kid, I've sort of fascinated by football managers and the fact that they always seem to take the blame for your football team's problems. It doesn't matter how good or bad the players are. If you keep losing, it's the manager who gets sacked. Probably the easiest person to get sacked because you can't sack a whole team of footballers. You can sack the manager and a couple of the coaching staff and it probably will cost you a lot less. So within the world of football management, there's a lot of like crazy stories about how these perfect marriages, so to speak, sort of fall apart at the seams. So I really wanted to delve into that a bit more and find out more about how these football managers somehow manage to cope sometimes with running these sports clubs that are massive institutions in their cities, run like global businesses now, especially if you talk about Premier League clubs. But even back in the 60s, 70s and 80s, these clubs were sort of institutions of their areas and people were so passionate about them. They want their local club to do well. So, yeah, that came from there. And I just decided to start telling the stories of a few managers. So a couple I've done so far is David Moyes and his ill-fated spell in charge of Manchester United, the man who was tasked with taking over from Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United, the greatest manager of all time, failed miserably. Had Roy Hodgson with his time at Liverpool, 6 months or so, where the fans were desperate for somebody else, but he was given the job and it just all went to pieces. And then also looking back to the 70s and Brian Clough and his 44 days in charge of Leeds United. Even the best, and Brian Clough was one of the best, can have a nightmare. And his 44 days at Leeds United was a disaster waiting to happen, especially after he made previous comments about the team back then, about them being dirty, being cheaters. And for some reason, he decided to go to Leeds. And, I can't think of an equivalent in history where somebody has criticised a group of people so much and decided, what's a good idea? I'm going to go and join them. And you know what? I'm going to be their boss. And as you can imagine, it did not end well. But he did all right. He went to Nottingham Forest afterwards and won a couple of European Cups. So there, that's the idea of the podcast. It's very much a hobby at the moment. It's not anything professional. It's just something that I enjoy doing from time to time. There's a new episode coming in a couple of days, and if so, look out for that. It's at Got the Boot Pod on Twitter and Instagram if anyone wants to follow it. It's just you might learn something. It might not be the most important thing to learn, but you might learn a thing or two.
So where can people listen to your podcast?
So you can listen to it on Apple Podcasts and also SoundCloud. So if you search in SoundCloud Got the Boot Podcast, you'll find it. I'm going to say Got the Boot Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You'll be able to find it there. And if you find me on Twitter as well, I'll be usually promoting it as much as I can.
What made you want to join your university student radio station?
It might be a bit of a cliche, but I always wanted to be a journalist. I always wanted to work in media ever since I was a kid. So when I was picking unis, whether they had like a media like slide, I was always going to do broadcast journalism, but I always thought you need to do stuff outside of the course. So I was sort of looking to see if there was student media at these places, and Fly FM, I could immediately see just from searching online that they were one of the biggest and seemed to be one of the best at Nottingham Trent. So that kind of helped the decisions to go to Trent. I loved the uni anyway, but that was an added factor. And then just going to the welcome meeting, I remember going to it. I remember it was absolutely chucking it down with rain during Freshers Week. And it was like a half an hour walk to campus. So usually and there was no buses around or anything. So you had to walk pretty much. But because I wanted to do it, I was so passionate about it. And I felt like it would be a really good thing to do and enjoy. Dragged myself in, got myself an umbrella, absolutely soaked getting there. But went to the welcome meeting, loved it. And then went off to the voice test that they did for presenters a few days later. In their old studios, which weren't too far away from my hall, so it was perfect for me. And did the voice test there, met a few people there, got chatting, and then got chatting with the people who were running the station at the time. And it just went from there, really. And from that, I loved it for the whole 3 years.
What roles did you have as part of your student station?
Everything. Literally everything. So I started off with presenting. So I did 2 hour show for 3 years. So I did two of those years by myself. And then my second year, I co-hosted with my friend Vicky, who has actually gone on to do really well as well. She's gone on to work at Sky. So but I'm sure we'll come to the talent that I had with at Fly in a bit. So I did that, did producing. So I produced sports events, produced mainly the varsity series stuff. So the varsity series between Nottingham Trent and the University of Nottingham is massive for both uni. So producing and presenting on those sorts of programs was brilliant and real, like, you know, one of the things I really wanted to do. Did a bit of news reading, didn't actually do that much news reading. I sort of left the journalism side of things for me on my course. I kind of just used Fly more to like try out presenting wise and producing that sort of thing. So in my second year, I moved up to be deputy station manager. And then in my final year, I was station manager. So I was in charge of the whole thing, which was very busy. People think, oh, a student radio doesn't take much to run it. It takes a hell of a lot to run it to make sure that you keep it all running and keeping going. So that was a brilliant experience, but took up a lot of time and probably took precedent above the course, which some of my lecturers weren't very happy about, but there you go.
So what were some of your highlights from your time in student radio and your station's involvement with the Student Radio Association?
Well, getting the 2 hour show first off is one of them. So in my first year, the station manager did my voice test, and I remember him saying something along the lines of, oh, we'll hear more from you again. And for like a first year, that's big confidence boost when you've got somebody saying that, especially from one of the like older year groups. And that station manager turned out to be Jack Saunders, who is now one of the presenters on Radio One. So I like to think he has good taste.
Wow, that's a bit mad.
Yeah, looking back, that is crazy. You know, at the time he was station manager at the time, and we all knew that he was brilliant and such a good presenter. But looking back now that he's made it all the way to Radio One, and to think he was my boss. I know it's student radio, but he was my boss. That's pretty cool to say. I suppose, that, again, it's a cliche, but meeting so many great people, so many talented people, and at Fly, I look back now and the amount of talent we had over my 3 years, the amount of people that have gone on into the radio industry was absolutely stacked. So many people have like gone to Radio One, gone to work at Global, gone to work at Bauer, gone to work in wireless, across like TalkSport, Talk Radio, as say Capital. You know, it was a really great time to be there from an enjoyment point of view, but also from a point of view that you knew there were so many people that were going on into the industry and doing really well for themselves. And that's always great to see, I suppose, regardless of what line of work you're in. But from the point of view that, you know, you're this uni student who's aspiring to go and work in the radio industry, and you're seeing like constantly your peers going to do it, it gives you that the most massive confidence boost and makes you believe that you can do it. And, you know, it was a great time, as I say, to be there. Presenting varsity ice hockey was a big one for me as well. For anyone who doesn't know, varsity ice hockey between Trent and Uniov is, or certainly was when I was there, the biggest ice hockey match outside of North America in terms of attendances and crowds. Always massive, the biggest one of, if the biggest event of the year at uni, and getting the chance to present the show for Fly was a big honour. It's one of the things I really wanted to do, especially in my year as station manager. And then also in terms of the SRA, you asked about involvement with the SRA. Well, we did really well at the 2013 SRAs. We won 5 gold SRA awards, which was fantastic. And it was my first experience of an SRA awards, and it was brilliant fun, you know. Of course, the celebrations were long and went up long into the night, but it was a fantastic experience just to see so much success, and it was well-deserved as well. And then one of the targets for me as station manager was to lead Fly back into the top 6 of nominated stations for best student radio station, because we had been in my first year, but the second year we dropped out. So it was one of my big things to try and get us back up there, and we did that, and that was, you know, a really big moment, and one that probably is the proudest moment for me as my time at Fly, because we had so many talented people, as I say, especially in my final year. A lot of people maybe that haven't gone into the radio industry, but I knew that they were able to help us achieve that goal. And again, whilst it some people might think it's just student radio, you still can set yourself these goals, these targets, these ambitions, especially for those of us, and there was a good core of us who wanted to go out into the industry and wanted to do this properly and wanted to do it right. So having that recognition to be in the top 6, the 6 best student radio stations in the country, was fantastic.
So what involvement have you had with the Student Radio Association during your time in student radio and beyond?
So I always went to SRAcon. The first SRAcon I went to was in Newcastle, which was great. I can't remember too many of the speakers, but I think Ben Cooper, who used to be controller of Radio 1, was there. Scott Mills was there. Then I remember Demo Factor. I think George Godfrey, who was at Fly at the time, he won that year. So again, that was a big thing for us, that, you know, somebody from Fly was winning that competition. But yeah, I don't remember too much apart from that. But I do remember, like, looking around the city and, you know, getting in, you know, experiencing like this, you know, different parts of the UK, which was really cool. And then also went to, I think the next one after that was Exeter, I think it was in 2015, I think it was. And yeah, that was brilliant as well. You know, we had the likes of Greg James and others doing talks, and you really felt like you learned a lot from every talk that I went to, and that was great. And it was great to represent Fly there as well. You know, we were wary as well that we were representing our university and representing our station, which was really cool. And we always seemed to have a good relationship with the SRA whenever I was there. So that was great. And then beyond that, of course, I've done the odd talk for them at training days and always been willing to help out after I graduated. But of course, the main thing is, of course, I joined it. I didn't want to get away from student radio that easily after graduating. So I ended up joining them as Midlands Regional Officer for a year. So I helped sort out a couple of training days. The first one was at De Montfort Uni, and then the second one was at Trent. And then I helped out a bit with SRAcon that year, which was in Cardiff. And then I spent a year doing Training and Development Officer. So I was actually on the executive committee of the SRA for a year. And that was leading the regional officers around the country with their training days, and then also helping put together SRAcon in Leicester in 2017.
So what did you achieve and enjoy about these roles that you had on the SRA committee?
In terms of achievement, it's a tricky one, because I suppose I kept the cycle going, because the regional officers are expected to put on those 2 training days. Those are the 2 main things for them to do. And I did both of them, and I think people really enjoyed it. I think one of the main things for me as Midlands officer was that, I don't know how it is around where you are in terms of your station or stations around the country, but in our area, you might know of URN, University of Nottingham's radio station. And whilst they always clear up at the SRAs, and I think they still do, they weren't overly involved with the SRA or training sessions when I became Midlands officer. And I tried to make an active effort to try and get them involved a little bit more, just coming along to the training days and just, you know, get involved that way. Not like actively wanting them to drop everything and, you know, come along to whatever they wanted. But yeah, just getting them to the training days. And I developed a good relationship with their station manager at the time, Jess McNamee, who was really good and really open to new ideas and wanted, you know, her members to, as well as get the training in-house at URM, but also get it from other, you know, people in the industry and as part of the SRA. And that was really good. So getting more involvement from stations, getting them more interested in the SRA, and yeah, just giving them that experience of giving them, you know, the people a bit more varied than standard people that you could get in the East Midlands, I suppose. Well, what I mean by that is, I suppose, people like you'd have your regular speakers that you try and get, but I tried to get a few new people, a few people that might have not spoken at an SRA event before, to give them a bit more of a, like, an idea of, you know, the different roles and places that you can go in the radio industry. So I think I did that all right. And then in terms of training and development, my biggest achievement in student radio, bar getting fly back into the top six of the SRA awards, is putting together SRAcon. It was a mammoth task. Can't remember the exact amount of sessions, but well into double figures, like 20, 30 sessions. Needed multiple people to be booked, get the timings right. It was an absolute logistical nightmare. But putting it together with my colleagues on the exec committee and getting, you know, I think pretty good feedback on the sessions that we did was brilliant. And that was definitely my favourite SRAcon. Of course, I'm a bit biased because I've helped put it together, but it was a great experience to put that together and learn those new skills, like the logistical skills. That's the sort of thing, like a bit like event planning, you know, putting that string to my bow, I suppose, and putting together this event for about 200 students to come and enjoy. So that was definitely the biggest achievement.
So what was the Student Radio Association like when you were part of the committee?
I'd say the SRA is, especially when I was there, it can be a little bit complicated because you want students to be involved in the running of the SRA and you want, you know, people who are, you know, really closely intertwined with university student radio stations to be running it. But I think sometimes people forget that the SRA is a business/charity, you know, it needs to make money. The SRA needs to break even or, you know, try and, you know, make as much money as they can off their events. So the awards and SRAcon. We can't just go anywhere for SRAcon. We can't just put anything together for it. There has to be a lot of planning and methodical thinking that goes into it. And I think at times, and I think people might, you know, might agree or disagree with this, but the SRA at times was sort of run a bit like a, you know, a student society when it is a business/charity, if you see what I mean. So it was in need of new voices. I think by the time I'd got to training and development officer, I'd been out of uni for 2 years or so. And that's, I think, looking back for me, that was probably a bit too long, maybe. I think at the time they needed those new voices to come in and start changing things and putting together new ideas. And that's, you, I heard the episode you did with Naomi, who just recently was SRA chair.
Yeah.
And she was a big part in that. She, you know, she was a regional officer with me, and then she did marketing officer when I was training and development, and then moved up to chair, and she was a big part in that and driving it forward. I think it just needed that to take that next step, because I think they'd been a lot of people who've done such incredible work for the SRA. You know, there are people that were part of it for close to a decade, you know. But I think just with any organization, it just needs a refresh and needs new people and fresh set of eyes. And we just needed to step away and, you know, not have to rely on these people, because, you know, there were so many people in the SRA that we relied on to keep running, and it wasn't fair on them really that they had to stick around for so long, I suppose. I mean, they can speak for themselves, you know, that if they were willing to do it, then that's great. But it was time for new people to come in and to put their stamp on it, so to speak. And I think certainly ever since I left the SRA, they've certainly done a great job in doing that. But overall, the people that you work with, the SRA, you know, the talent that's there, you know, again, people that have done it all in student radio and then gone on into the industry and done a brilliant job as well. It can't be knocked. And you could tell that everybody who was there gave 100% and wanted to give something back and wanted to give the students the best events possible in terms of conference, in terms of awards. It was always a great environment to be in. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
And finally, what advice would you give to those currently in student radio today?
I would say be ambitious but realistic. One of the episodes I listened to yours with Will Manning, who spoke about how the industry is a lot smaller than it used to be, and he's absolutely spot on. With the, you might have heard the recent, stations that have been bought by Bauer, and a lot of work is being going into integrate stations, and
yeah,
a lot of stations are closing and being converted into greatest hits radio, etc., etc. And the same for global, where you've seen a lot of shows just turn into national breakfast and then have regionalized drive. So especially presenting wise, the options are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So we had, if I think back to my time at Fly, we had so many people come in and be like, we want to be presenters. And at the time, you're like, even back then, it's a bit like, what else can you do? You don't want to just put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. You want to be able to have so many different skills and so many different things that you can do. Because at the end of the day, especially these days, employers and people in the radio industry, I think, want you to be able to do a load of everything. So whilst I'm a newsreader, I'm still capable of going out and reporting. And if I wasn't able to do that, that might be a bit of an issue. Make sure that you're going for these jobs. If you think you're a good presenter, then make sure you're doing demos. Make sure you're sending out to the right people and don't give up on it. But just be realistic as well, and just make sure that you are, not selling yourself short in terms of other skills that you are able to get or able to obtain. So if you're interested in presenting, maybe think about, maybe I should try producing as well. Or maybe if you like going out and reporting on stories, think, why don't I try doing some news reading as well and get some newsreader demos sent out as well? It's just broadening your skill set, I think, and just making sure that you don't leave yourself in, maybe if you come out of uni, you're set on being a presenter, but there are not many presenting jobs out there. You've got something else to fall back on, or you can say to program controllers or news editors, right, okay, maybe you don't have a role for this, but I'd also do this. Are you interested in that? And they might be like, okay, yeah, we're interested. And it might not be an immediate job that you get there, but at least they'll remember you and think, okay, so-and-so can do this, he can do that, So that would be my main bit of advice, but also just enjoy yourself. Just really enjoy it. I think back to my time at Student Radio and I loved it so much and it was such good fun. And I wouldn't change that for the world. And I don't want people to be, fearful when they go into Student Radio that, when they come out at the end of it, there's nothing out there. There's plenty of stuff out there, and the skills that you learn, you can be used in different jobs. As I said, I've got friends that have done Student Radio and gone on to work at Sky. Got people who've Student Radio with me and went on to work in PR, so it can help you in so many different ways. Overall, just enjoy it, because it is a fantastic industry to work in. It's such good fun, and such an important one as well. We've seen during the pandemic that a lot of people have turned to radio, news and programming, to get away. Some, if it's for programming, it's to get away from the news, but if it's, if they're listening for us, then they want to hear the latest on what's going on. So it's a really important medium, and it needs as much talent as possible coming through, even if the opportunities perhaps in some areas are not as much as they used to be.
Well, thank you, Matt, for talking to me about your time in the radio industry and your student radio journey and the work you've done with the Student Radio Association. It's been great to hear the advice you've been giving.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you very much for having me. If anyone is wants to hear any more from me, then I'm on Twitter at @Matt_Madron if you want to drop me a message and any questions you might have about student radio or journalism or the industry as a whole. I will do my best to answer. So thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Matt, for sharing your radio journey with me. It's been great to hear about your experiences and the advice you've given. Stay tuned for more student radio stories to come. Bye, everyone!